Well, we have been spending our time this year, and I feel like I'm kind of ringing in your ears, but I don't know that I can do anything about that, going through a schedule that has helped us kind of go through the scriptures. And I'm getting ahead of myself because the back screen's not working. Okay, there we go. And that schedule has put us right now in the book of Luke. And so what we've been looking at, and over a four-week period here, we're looking at some parables in the book of Luke. And this is a time for us just to get a brief look at just a few of the parables that are in the book of Luke. And I have to tell you, as you sit and kind of listen carefully to Jesus' teaching, it's very convicting. And on my end of things, getting ready for these messages has been challenging. And I hope on the receiving end for you as well, that you kind of get the impact of what Jesus is saying. And when you start looking at just some of the bold statements that Jesus makes, they really do confront us. They are statements that make you stop and think. They're statements that make you really pause and take stock of your life and how you are relating to those statements. So we're in week three, and we're looking at the parable of the foolish farmer in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Now, the theme of our series, as Jesus told parables, he said they really have two functions. One is to reveal truth to those who are his committed followers. But they have another purpose, too, and that is to those who were not truly committed followers, who were did not have a deep spiritual or a spiritual interest. They also concealed truth to those. But we've taken the theme that God reveals truth to the committed follower of Jesus. And in Psalms, it says this: the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Psalm 25:14. This week, as we look at this particular parable, the theme we're going to look at today is the necessity of us dealing with this this matter of greed. And so we need to get free of greed to be rich toward God. So let's read this passage. Starts in chapter 12 and begins in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told this parable: the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" And then Jesus concluded by saying, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Well, here Jesus highlights the danger of greed, all kinds of greed. That word means to desire to have more. Whenever you have this desire that you just want more and more, that's what greed is. It's a thirst for getting more and more of things that we think will satisfy. Things like money is usually top of the list. But even things like position or things like power, any of these things that can be a part of how greed gets manifested in our lives. And it's the kind of danger that we can easily be blind to. Jesus says, watch out. In other words, you know, keep your eyes fully open. You've been in situations where, you know, you're just trying to really pay attention because you're afraid something's going to get past you. You're afraid something's going to happen at just the moment that you blink. And, you know, you've had those instances where it's like, if I blink right now, I'm going to miss this thing I'm really paying attention to. And Jesus is saying, you know, keep your eyes fully open. Pay very careful attention, because this matter of greed can be something that is very subtle. It creeps into our life, and we can be blind to it. And then he says, and be on your guard. That is, be constantly vigilant against this danger. You know, when they post guards outside of a compound, they're on guard for a purpose. They're there to look for a danger. They're there to protect what's inside. And we need to be on guard against greed because we don't want its entrance into the core of who we are and into our life. Well, why is greed so dangerous? Let's look at three things that greed does. First of all, greed distracts. Greed distracts. When we were a couple of weeks ago looking at the parable of the soils and the seed, if you remember, the story is about a farmer. He goes out and he's going out to distribute the seed. And as he does, the seed falls on four different kinds of ground. If you remember, there's the ground that's the hard pathway that people would have been walking on. And then there was the ground that was kind of full of rocks, and there wasn't a lot of soil there and didn't sustain the life of the seed very well. And then there was the ground that was infested with thorns, with the roots of thorns. And that was not a good place for the seed to land. The thorns choked out the seed. And then there was the good soil. There was the good soil. And then we read about Jesus interpreting this parable to the disciples. And he tells them that the word, or the seed, is the word. It's the message. It's the word of truth that's being shared. And he talks about what the hard pathway means. He talks about what the rocky ground means. And then he talks about the thorn-infested ground. If you remember, he talks about some things about that. He said, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by three things: life's worries, then we have a blank, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So the question is, do you remember what goes in that blank? Well, it applies very much to what we're talking about today. It is riches. Now, it's not riches in and of themselves, as it is with any of these. It is what our response is to these things. It's what our attitude is toward these. These things can take away our attention. They can take away our affection and riches and take away that which we should be devoting our heart to that's really important. Now, in the passage that's prior to today's story that we're talking about the man who has this question, it's really interesting. Jesus is teaching about some immensely huge and weighty topics. You know, he's talking about the danger of hypocrisy. He's talking about the sin against the Holy Spirit. He's talking about just some real important things. And out of the blue, out of the clear, comes this guy that stands up and he wants Jesus to help him settle a matter of inheritance with his brother. Like, his brother's cheated him somehow, and he wants to make sure he gets the fair deal, and he's calling on Jesus, as sometimes was done, that they would call on the rabbi to come and help settle the matter. But it had nothing to do with what Jesus had been talking about, and apparently he wasn't listening. Why so? Because he was being distracted by this matter. It was consuming all of his thoughts. And you know, you've been sometimes sitting and either listening to something or listening to someone, which is even worse, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize you haven't heard a word they've said because your mind has been going over some matter that you're all worked up about. And this appears to be the case with this man. Now, notice in this parable that Jesus talked about, what became the focus of the farmer after his land produced a good crop? First of all, he was rich to begin with, it says. He was a rich farmer. And then all of a sudden, one year, he has this just amazing crop, a bumper crop, a good crop. And what becomes the focus of his attention? Well, it became about his possessions. He decided to build bigger barns for his grain and his goods. And he said to himself that he had plenty of good things laid up for many years. And this is where his focus was. Jesus introduced this parable by saying that a person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. And that's not where your focus should be, because that's not where true life is. So it became about his possessions, and then also his focus became about himself. If you've noticed in this story as we read it, there's a lot of first-person pronouns that this farmer starts using. He starts talking about, you know, my barns and my grain and my goods, and what will I do? And it reminds us a little bit about of a man in the Old Testament whose name was Nabal. If you remember, Nabal was kind of a wealthy landowner at the time of David, and he had sheep shearers, these guys who worked as shearing the sheep, and David's men kind of watched over these guys during their time so that no harm came to them. Well, when harvest came, David just said, you know, it kind of makes sense. We sort of did a favor for Nabal. Surely he would be willing to provide some of the fruit of the harvest for us. And so he goes to Nabal, or he sends some men to make this request. And what Nabal says, he says, shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've killed for my servants or my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where? Do you see a similarity here of these men who are consumed all about themselves? And interestingly enough, you know what Nabal's name means? It means fool. He is a fool, just as this man was a fool, because he allowed greed to distract him and place the focus on his possessions and on himself. But life isn't about our possessions. Jesus said that life is about being rich toward God. And he made a good case also for not focusing on ourselves, but on loving and caring for others. And he placed that as a high-ranking priority, just under loving God with all our hearts. But what happens is greed will take our focus off of what is really important. So it's a good opportunity this morning for each of us to ask how much of our life revolves around our possessions. Do you let things take up a lot of your time and grab your affection? You know, it's so easy for us to get caught up in what we have or what we want to have, that we just think we're thinking about this next new thing, or we're thinking about how we can enjoy this thing. And God's not against enjoyment, and he's not against things, but when they take all our attention or take much of our attention and our affection, then they distract us from what is really important. You might ask yourself, do I have eye trouble? Not this eye, but this eye. You know, the person right here, am I only thinking of myself, my this and my that? When our attention is on possessions and ourselves, then greed has distracted us from where our focus should be. So greed distracts, but also greed deceives. So I had an experience this week. Allison and I were at the office here. Allison's my daughter. And she was on the phone with my wife. And I said, I'd like to talk to Jane when you're done. So she handed me her phone. And I'm talking to Jane for a little bit. And all of a sudden, you know, we get cut off. That sometimes happens when you're on the cell phone, right? So I waited. And in a few moments, Jane called back. And I'm sitting there with Allison's phone, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out how to answer it. And I'm not really totally dense about these things. But no screen is showing up where you can push the, accept button or anything. It's just got the home screen with the lock stuff on it, you know. And I'm asking her, you know, like, how do you answer this phone? And she said, I don't think that's my ring. You know, I don't think that's my phone ringing. And all of a sudden I realize that, yes, Jane called back, but the phone in my pocket is the one that's ringing, not the one I'm holding in my hand. I was totally fooled. I mean, I just thought for sure that ring was coming from that phone. And what happens is that greed has a way of fooling us. And this man that was the rich farmer had been fooled by greed, and God calls him a fool. He calls him a fool. This rich man thought, or this farmer thought he had plenty of good things laid up for many years. He thought his full barns were the ticket to a wonderful future. He was deceived in thinking that his goods were really what was true treasure, and that he had plenty of time to enjoy them. He told himself, hey, self, you should just take life easy. You should just, you know, eat whatever you desire. You should drink your drink to the fill. And you should just be happy. You know, I wonder if how many people would agree with him. If you said, you know, hey, if you could have this life, do you think you'd have the good life? I mean, he thought he had gotten the good life. What could be better than this? I think in our day and time, a lot of people would agree with him. But God interrupted his party. The man thought that he was smart, but in truth, God says that he was a fool. He was deceived about who was really in control. And he was deceived about the value of his goods. And he was deceived about what he thought was the good life. And he was deceived about when death would come and what it would mean. Our time that we have here really is short. Now, it may not seem that way if you're young. Some of us still think we're young, and we're not as young as we used to be. But time goes by so quickly, does it not? And it's amazing how year after year can pass, and pretty soon, you know, you realize this is just going by in a hurry. Our time here is short, but greed can lead us to think that we should pour all of our investment into this life, that this is really what counts, you know, kind of everything you can get out of this life. But in contrast to that, you know, eternity is long. I mean, that's an understatement, of course. I mean, it stretches out on and on and on. And Jesus calls us to invest in the eternal things, to be rich toward God, he says. In other words, to lay up treasure in heaven. And if we listen to greed, then we're a fool. But if we listen to Jesus, then we are wise. We're wise. You know, I don't know, I think this is universally true, that all of us get fooled at some time or another. You know, you went to the store and you thought you got a good deal. But you came home and, you know, you found out, no, I've been fooled. Or maybe you thought you could trust somebody, but you found out you were wrong. You know, those are difficult things. But you survive. You survive that. But you know what you can't survive? You can't survive being wrong about what happens when death comes. As God is pointing out to this man here, he's saying, you need to realize the truth about this. And what does death mean? What will happen when death comes? It means that you will leave everything behind. I mean, sometimes people will say of a rich person, you know, well, how much did they leave behind? You know what the answer is? It's always the same answer. They left everything. You know, they left it all. And that's what is true for all of us. We're going to leave it all behind. And God asked the man, you know, who's going to get what you have prepared for yourself? You know what the point is? It's not going to be you. It will no longer be you. So death means we're going to leave everything behind, but death also means that you're going to give God an answer for your life. He says, this night your soul will be, be required of you, or your soul will be demanded of you. And God is saying that there's an account that we must all give of our life when this life is over. Death is a call that you can't ignore. You can't decide not to answer. And when it comes, we will all stand before God. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us, each one of us, is going to give an account of himself to God. So if our life isn't colored by that reality, if we're not continuing to be aware of that truth, then we're likely going to place ourselves in the camp of those who are fools. Because that's what really matters in the end, is the account that we'll be able to give to God. God not only deceives, or greed, greed not only deceives, it distracts, but it also destroys. See, greed fuels things, bad things, things like division and disharmony. You know, just like the man who's at odds with his brother over the inheritance. You know, there's already, who knows what kind of relationship they had before, but right now, that relationship is being damaged because of greed. Jesus is pointing out that's the source behind this. And by the way, inheritances are one of the prime times or prime instances where greed will show up. And maybe you have firsthand knowledge of that. But if you don't, you've certainly heard and read about cases where families, where everything was going fine, where everyone seemingly at least was getting along, and then came the time to divide up the estate. And Aunt Mary wanted this, and Aunt Julie wanted that, and pretty soon there is a fight that this doesn't affect Aunt Mary and Aunt Julie, but it affects the entire family. And what happens? Do they finally come together and say, let's just be peaceful about the whole thing? A lot of times not, right? What happens is that years go by, and the rift that was caused by the greed that happened in the case of the settling of the estate goes on and on. And it's tragic. It's tragic. But it's a clear instance of how much of a destructive element there is in greed. Greed can destroy relationships. It can destroy a friendship. A friendship can be torn apart by greed. It can destroy, as we've said, a family. A family can be torn apart by greed. And greed can wreak havoc even in your own life. You know, the rich farmer thought that he was going to be able to take his ease. You know, he said, just take it easy. Yet, like, I have nothing to worry about. But you know, in reality, what happens to most people whose hearts are set on their possessions and on what they have really have no peace at all, because they're worried. They're worried what's going to happen. They're worried if those things are secure. They're instead filled with anxiety and worry. Greed will destroy your peace. And the security that you think you have, we all know, as the Bible tells us, money can sprout wings and just fly away. So if you're counting on that, basing your security on that, then you're sadly mistaken in its stability. Greed will take your peace, it will take your security, it will take true satisfaction from you. And not only that, but it will mess with things between you and God. And Jesus was clear about that. He said, no servant can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one and love the other, or he's going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then he said, here's what I'm really talking about. You cannot serve both God and money. And Jesus just kind of, it really is surprising how much Jesus talks about money. And when people often say that, it seems like they're justifying a certain kind of way of handling money and stewardship and that kind of thing, which is all good and great. But a lot of times what Jesus is pointing out is the danger of money. It's the danger that, again, the power that money can have in our life if we allow it. Money itself doesn't have any, you know, it's neutral. It doesn't have any, it's not that it's evil in itself. But there's the potential power that it can exert in our lives that can slowly turn our hearts away from God as our God to money as our God. And Jesus said, that doesn't work. You can't serve two. It's either God or it's something else, often money, that is a God in our life. We see the destructive element of greed in some verses that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, 1 Timothy 6. They bear repeating. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You see the destructive element of greed? They surveyed a number of college seniors about, you know, what was their main goal. And I think something like 74% said to earn a lot of money. To earn a lot of money. And yet I wonder if they read this statement and thought, if my entire goal is to do that, if that's what my wish or my want to do is, maybe I'm getting more than I bargained for. Maybe there's something of a destructive element I'm going to be dealing with if greed gets a hold of my life. Let's talk about making it personal. And in this particular instance, it's really interesting to follow what Jesus says next in the narrative. And it just really makes a wonderful place for us just to have some points for us to take home with. We're all sort of gotten the general point that we need to be free of greed in order to be rich toward God. But let's talk about some of the practical things that Jesus talks about here in these following verses. And one of the first things he says is that we need to stop worrying about life's necessities. We have this thing where we can just be so consumed about just the necessities of life. And Jesus is going to tell us to stop worrying about that and instead to trust in God's provision. And let's read this passage. Then Jesus said to his disciples, this is right after he told the parable. He said to the disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life, remember what he said, what life wasn't? You know, life is more than food. And the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They do not plant or harvest. They have no storeroom, no barn like the rich man did. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. So Jesus says there's a good reason why you don't have to be all consumed with greed, and that's because you can trust in your Father's provision, and you don't have to worry. You can just stop worrying about those things. As it goes on in the passage, it also makes this point that we need to really seek or strive for the kingdom blessings, the spiritual blessings. Notice what he says. All of that, don't worry about those things, but what should you do instead? But seek his kingdom, God's kingdom. And that word seek has this idea of to put serious effort into something and to really to desire a particular goal. And I put strive as this idea. Strive for his kingdom. And this idea of laying up treasure in heaven or of seeking spiritual blessings. That's what we're to put first. And these things, all the things that Jesus talked about for food and clothing and those kind of things, these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, he says, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God's not trying to withhold the good from us. He wants us to enjoy what the kingdom is about. And so we're to invest in what really counts, in kingdom matters, in spiritual matters, in eternal matters. And then finally, he just makes a point of saying what we really need to do to invest in life that's really life. Part of that is being sacrificially generous. Notice how he ends this section. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses, and this would sort of be the money bag that the business people would have, for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Clothing was a big way of a big item of expensive clothing was a way of wealth, or it was a sign of wealth. Of course, clothing sometimes is subject to the devastation a moth can do. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, where you've invested yourself, that's where your heart is going to be. And Jesus said, so invest in what really matters, in what really counts, in what's going to last. What's going to last? I wanted us to end with 1 Timothy 6. In the same passage where Paul cautions about the danger of money, he turns right around and addresses what Timothy should do or say to those who have means. And again, there's no condemnation for the person who possesses wealth, as long as their attitude is right. And this is what he says. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, which is a danger, not to put their hope in wealth, which is a danger, because it's so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, he says, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, there we have it, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, so that they may cash in on what really counts. They may have what is the true treasure. So today, I encourage you, I encourage myself as well, that we would take hold of the life that is truly life and not let the distraction, not let the deception, not let the destruction of greed keep us from the true treasure the treasure of being rich toward God. Let's pray. Lord, we're amazed at how many times Jesus was able just to put his finger on a real issue. And sometimes it's easy for us to see that issue as applying to someone else. But Lord, sometimes you just needle us and say, here's an area of need. Lord, I thank you right now for the grace that is in Jesus that is willing to help us see the need we have in our lives and help us to see the danger before it's too late, to let our eyes become open to things that need to be addressed in our life. And Lord, in this area of greed, it's so easy for it to creep in. And instead, Father, I pray that we will not fall prey to it, but instead, Father, the spirit of generosity, the desire of investing in eternal things will be what our eye is focused on. So Lord, this morning, just allow these pungent words of Jesus to just stop us in our tracks and call us to that life that you've called your disciples to live, and that we truly would be people who are rich toward God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.